I've met a wonderful man. And I think we're going to have a beautiful relationship together.
He followed me. This is a truly terrible album. Maren Cadell is a poet slash actress slash performance artist, three strikes, you're out, who specializes in clever, feminist, postmodern sound theater pieces.
I'm bringing home a baby bumblebee. Won't my mama be so proud of me? I'm bringing home a baby bumblebee. Ooh-wee, it stung me. I probably should have resisted. Never trust a man. Why didn't I read those articles in Self magazine more carefully? I probably could have avoided this.
She reimagines the classic and surreal children's rhyme, Baby Bumblebee, as a feminist rant against the constant stream of Mr. Wrongs that come into her life.
I'm squishing up my baby bumblebee. Won't Gloria Steinem be so proud of me? I'm squishing up my baby bumblebee. Ooh-wee, it's all over me.
Please extinguish all cigarettes and ensure that your seat backs and trays are in the upright and locked position.
She preaches and instructs as a Dadaist stewardess.
Look to me for your instructions when the plane begins to fall. Once I wanted to be a nun till I found out what it takes from you. Now I've settled on flight attendant and I know my heart is true.
She recalls the joy and angst that come with falling in love with some boy's sweater in the eighth grade.
I know you will understand this and feel the intrinsic, incredible emotion. You have just pulled over your head the worn, warm sweater belonging to a boy. Now, you haven't had a passionate kissing session or anything, but you got to go on a camping trip with him and eight other people from school. And you practically slept together, your sleeping bag right next to his. And you woke in the night to watch him as he slept, but you couldn't see anything because it was dark, so you just lay there and listened to his breathing and wondered if your heart might burst.
Almost all of her pieces are monologues delivered over innocuous, poppy music beds. They're all clever and witty, the first time you hear them. The second time, not so much. By about the third or fourth time, you want to pull your ears off.
So you have to keep it under the covers with you. You can kind of lie it beside you, or wrap it around your waist, or touch it on your legs, or whatever, but that's your business.
She's quite talented, and I'm sure she's a lot of fun to see live, but to want to actually subject yourself to these monologues more than a couple of times is a sign of either advanced psychosis or being a blood relative, or perhaps both.
I'm here where I want to be, 7,000 miles from infinity. No one knows where I am.
Except for the opening cut, Secret.
It's quiet here with me. I'm filling in the spaces where the killings used to be. There's no phone and no way home.
A beautiful and short a cappella piece that blooms into glorious harmony, this song is a mournful tribute to the pleasures and need of retreating to a private place.
Been a long time.
This song never fails to give me chills, and I almost always listen to it at least twice in a row so I can sing along. I find the end especially poignant, with the rich harmony singing,
"No one knows where I am,"
and then a single voice. I hate cell phones. Call me a curmudgeon and a crank, but I can't abide those little handsets from hell. For one thing, people abuse them relentlessly, holding up grocery lines, weaving blindly across lanes of traffic, shouting half of what should be a personal conversation in the middle of the most public of spaces. Somebody once described cyberspace as where you are when you're on the phone, and that is precisely correct. When you're on the phone, you aren't in your physical space, nor are you in the physical space of the person you are talking to. You are a discarnate being. If I could put a slogan in every household, one of the questions in the horrifically squishy 1970s-era board game The Ungame, which I was subjected to too many times in my encounter group family fun nights, it would be, "Be here now." Don't live in the past. Don't live for the future. Inhabit the moment, this eternal instant. Be here, now. One of the biggest problems with cell phone abusers is that they are not here now. They aren't anywhere ever. Their physical body is a relic, stumbling deftly through the landscape, twitching and bumping stupidly about. But the other big problem with cell phones, and the main reason I've resisted getting one, is that I don't want to be in touch all the time. There are times when I don't want anyone to be able to reach me, when I want to soak in solitude uninterrupted. Cell phones are an ego booster, making the user feel so important that they must never, even for 1 second, be unreachable. Nobody is so important that they can't take a shit alone, even Elvis. Me, I relish my solitude, and I don't want the fragile silence shattered by a Black Sabbath ringtone. It's not that I'm doing anything shameful or secret, most of the time anyway. I just like to be by myself sometimes, something that seems increasingly difficult to achieve. But there's more to it than that. People seem to be more and more afraid of solitude and constantly try to build and maintain a personal web of connections, cell phones, email, instant messaging, and so on, to make them feel important and vital and so they never have to look within themselves for comfort or entertainment. The unexamined life may not be worth living, but it sure is good for the phone companies.
I'm here where I want to be.
This song probably appeals to me as much as it does because I'm an only child, of an only child. As an only child, you learn to make friends with solitude, to take comfort in loneliness, to seek out silence. What others may see as a burden or handicap becomes one of your best sources of strength. Alone, I can silence the cacophonous din of other people's needs and expectations and listen for the quiet whispering of my own soul. I'm usually too eager trying to be everything to everybody, and I often end up being nothing to myself. I need to spend a little intimate one-on-one time to keep myself healthy and balanced.
It's quiet.
I built a studio once, under the plum tree in the backyard of my first house, a modest mid-century in Culver City. It was a small 10x12 space, but it was all mine. I stocked it with my records and books and keyboard and computer. It quickly became my favorite room on earth, because when I was there, I wasn't anywhere else. I couldn't hear the doorbell. I couldn't hear the phone. I was gloriously alone. And it broke my heart to move out of that house and lose that space. Someday, in some future house, I will build another studio, another fortress of solitude, a secret garden where private flowers bloom, and no one knows where I am.
No one knows where